recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LeBounty.
Bob, you'll get a real sense of the hatred that makes football so great.
I've got the fever, gambling fever.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome in, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Erwig and Corey LeBounty with you again on this Monday night. Corey, I just checked. I'm trying to deposit money into my DraftKings daily fantasy account. Still not taking my money. And that's a problem. The governor signed the bill on Friday, so you think DraftKings and FanDuel would take my money. But yeah, they're still not ready to take Alabamians' money, apparently. Daily fantasy now legal in Alabama, which is fun. It's good times for guys like me that like to play a little bit of daily fantasy. I know a lot of people that wanted the lottery or maybe even sports betting, which was not on the docket this session. No lottery or sports gambling, but you basically have sports gambling because daily fantasy now legal again in Alabama.
You got to love that, Dalt. You just got to make sure you pick the winners.
Yeah, that's right, and I rarely do that when it comes to daily fantasy. I get lucky every now and then when I'm able to make it over to Biloxi, but daily fantasy, more fun than profit, I would say, for me. I got a big show planned tonight. Of course, lots of baseball and softball to talk about. It is that time of year. The College World Series currently ongoing in softball. The last I checked, UCLA and Oklahoma in the bottom of the second inning now, and looks like UCLA just tied the game at one, or Oklahoma just tied the game at one. I think UCLA had a 1-0 lead, so they're in game one of that three-game series, and that's unfortunately some bitter news to hear for Alabama fans who were hoping that they would be taking that spot across from UCLA in the finals that start tonight. Unfortunately, Alabama did not make it there, and we'll go over what happened with the Alabama softball team over the last weekend in just a minute when we get to headlines. But a couple great guests lined up for tonight. Corey, you reached out to David Morris, the founder of QB Country, and this guy, I'm sure he has plenty to talk about, which works out because we have plenty of questions for him. His trains some of the best quarterbacks in all of college, and more of them making it into the NFL as they get older. One of the main guys we'll talk about with him tonight, Daniel Jones, who went 6th overall in the NFL draft to the New York Giants, went to he'll probably back up a guy that David Morris knows very well in Eli Manning, who went to college at Ole Miss, played at the same time as David, and they actually roomed together from what I understand. So we'll have tons of questions for David Morris about his guys that are still playing in the SEC, a local guy here, Cephas Johnson, who's worked at QB Country, and of course Daniel Jones and some of those guys who have moved on to the next level. And then later in the show, we're going to talk with a professional softball player who's getting ready to make her way back down here to Mobile as the American Softball Association gets ready to begin year two of the association. They get games cranked back up on June the 14th, but the second annual ASBA draft coming up this Wednesday night at Moe's Barbecue in downtown Mobile, and we're going to be giving away season tickets to the ASBA, so you'll want to stay tuned in for that. We're going to give you the chance to win complete season tickets, the entire season, all of the games. We've got them right here, and a couple of you will be lucky winners out there. But Corey, we started with headlines this morning, and we start with Auburn baseball, who's still fighting. They went undefeated over the weekend in the regionals of the College World Series. They went ahead and upset Georgia Tech twice over the weekend and have advanced to the Super Regionals. It started on Friday with Auburn crushing Coastal Carolina 16-7. And then on Saturday, a little bit closer of a game, Stephen Williams hitting a walk-off three-run homer to beat Georgia Tech 6-5. And that game ended late on Saturday night. I was lucky enough to see that walk-off home run because when I was tuning in, it was 5-2 entering the bottom of the ninth inning, and Auburn somehow was able to pull that around and win that game 6-5. And then for good measure, went ahead and beat Georgia Tech again yesterday 4-1 to advance to the Super Regionals. And that's no small prize because Georgia Tech, the sixth-ranked team in the country, the last I checked, big wins for the Auburn baseball team.
You know, Dalton, I was talking to you off the air. I have never seen more walk-off home runs in postseason play, including softball and baseball. You look at the thrilling matchup last night between Texas A&M and West Virginia, and Texas A&M hits a walk-off dinger. It includes Auburn's dramatic come-behind victory over Georgia Tech, walk-off fashion. And then you look at softball, Alabama, UCLA, all those teams being able to have that walk-off, whether it's a home run or walk-off hit situation in postseason play. It's always exhilarating and fun to watch.
Yeah, that's what's so fun, I think. Of course, I love Major League Baseball, and I love the ASBA, but these college players are getting so good. And, of course, with the metal bats, they're able to just smash that ball out there. And we've seen some really, really great home runs through these regionals and through the entire softball tournament to this point. You're right, there's been some fantastic finishes, and I know Auburn is hoping to make it further than they did last year. They've put together a couple really good years in a row now after kind of toiling in mediocrity and at the SEC basement in baseball over the last few years, decade really, but 2 years in a row now that the Auburn team has made it into the Super Regionals. But up next, they've got a three-game series against North Carolina, which is fitting because the Auburn basketball team also made it to the Sweet 16. They don't call it the Sweet 16 in baseball, but there's 16 teams left, and Auburn's facing UNC with a chance to move into the Elite Eight, if you want to call it that. They're hoping that it works out as well for them as it did in basketball this year.
No question about it. The Super Regionals are always something that you aspire to try to get to. And again, all the Auburn Tiger fans out there, with the untimely death of Rod Bramlett and the way that Auburn was able to defeat Georgia Tech, you would have loved to hear him or to have heard him on that call, but you just have to think there's something special and magical about this Auburn Tiger team and the way that they're playing here in the postseason.
I mean, they've got the sticker on the back of the helmet now that says RB, the memorial sticker, and he was just calling their games. I mean, we're talking from today.
Yes.
It was a week and a half ago.
Right.
Or 2 weeks ago. He called the end of their run in the SEC tournament.
Which was crazy,
and
that game.
It was, and then to lose Rod Bramlett in the fashion that they did, devastating for – this was one of those deaths. It wasn't just devastating for the university and for the town, but in Alabama, the same day that Bart Starr passed away, and we love Bart Starr down here in Alabama, but more people were talking about Rod Bramlett because of the effect that he has had on the state, and such a tragic loss at such a young age, 52 years old. You've got to believe that the Auburn baseball team is getting out there, and of course they want to win. Of course they wanted to win before Rod passed away, but there's just, it seems like a little something extra in the air, and it seems like it's Rob's doing there,
and
it's keeping them moving along. We'll see. Starting Friday, they have a three-game series against North Carolina. Last year, they made it to the Super Regionals and fell in three games to the Florida Gators. So Auburn really putting together a nice run here. Seems like we were saying the same thing in basketball just a few months ago. Some other SEC teams that have already advanced, you got LSU, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, who's got to be a favorite at this point, especially if UCLA doesn't move on later tonight because they still have their final regional game. Vanderbilt will be the favorite if UCLA gets knocked out tonight. You also have Ole Miss and Mississippi State, which I think you said that's a record for the number of SEC teams that have moved into the Super Regionals.
It does tie the national record, the NCAA record for most teams from a conference in the Super Regionals, which speaks volumes of top to bottom how dominant the Southeastern Conference is. We're not talking about just in football, folks. We're talking about Auburn making the Final Four in basketball. Now we're talking about the Super Regionals. You look at the success that Alabama softball has had, and it's just across the board the Southeastern Conference continues to do and live up to the expectation. It just means more.
And Alabama softball, so close to making it into the final two teams, which began their final series tonight, UCLA and Oklahoma. But Alabama, they lose to Oklahoma 3-2 on Thursday, which puts them in the loser's bracket. And it's tough as ever to fight out of the loser's bracket, especially when there's only eight teams left in the entire country. But they fought back valiantly. They beat Florida 15-3 on Saturday. They 10-run ruled them, so that was called after five innings, which was needed with all the weather delays on Saturday. And then they beat Arizona late Saturday night, 2-0. Survived Oklahoma yesterday, 1-0 in a game that went to extra innings, and then finally kind of ran out of steam, needing to beat Oklahoma twice to advance. Oklahoma won that second game last night, 7-3. So that puts an end to Bama's season with a 60-60-10 record, 60 wins and 10 losses. And the good news for Bama, they only lose three or four seniors from this year's class, so they're pretty set up well for next season. They're looking good.
Without question. I mean, just a historical run, fun to watch, and just kept me and my eyeballs glued to the television just to see how they were going to do. And Patrick Murphy does a wonderful job. So, Dalton, again, kudos to a great season and just one with class. Turn that program around.
Yeah, we'll run through a couple national scores here before we run to the break and then come back to talk with David Morris from QB Country. In the NBA Finals, you had Golden State evening up the series 1-1 with a 109-104 comeback win over the Raptors in Toronto last night. We'll get into that game later in the show. Also, in the NHL playoffs, they're getting ready to drop the puck for Game 4, but the Bruins have a 2-1 series lead now after thrashing the Blues 7-2 on Saturday night. Boston could really nearly put the Blues on the edge of extinction tonight with another win. And then in boxing, I didn't get to watch it. I haven't paid yet for DAZN. I might have to if we keep seeing upsets like this. But Andy Ruiz Jr., a guy who looks more like your average butterbean than any other heavyweight champion I've ever seen, ends up knocking out Anthony Joshua, putting an end to all the hopes and dreams of everyone that wanted to see Anthony Joshua fight Deontay Wilder or Tyson Fury. Andy Ruiz Jr. comes in and knocks him out of the ring and ends everybody's night on Saturday night with a new heavyweight champion. We'll get into all that and a whole lot more here on Sports Night tonight. Coming up next, I'm really excited about this interview. David Morris from QB Country. QB Country began right here in Mobile. Now they've got, I think, 10 schools around the Southeast and around the United States training all these quarterback, highly touted recruits that are coming up. You got guys that have been with QB Country who now play in the NFL. We're going to pick David's brain about the upcoming football season and also some of his guys that were drafted into the NFL this last April. All right, 718 on FM Talk 106.5. We're coming back. More Sports Night on the other side.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig with Corey LeBounty. Stay tuned. Your chance to win season tickets to the American Softball Association coming up later in the show. But right now, an interview I'm really excited about, and I got to thank Corey for reaching out and getting this guy on. David Morris, the founder of QB Country. Of course, QB Country began right here in Mobile and now has 10 locations. I know they go as far west as Dallas, Texas, and as far north as Charlotte, North Carolina. Then you go east and south. They're down there in Orlando, too. So basically all over the entire Southeast training the next wave of quarterback superstars and also the current wave of quarterback superstars. And here to talk with us, the founder of QB Country, David Morris. David, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
So those of us that have been following your career and following QB Country for a while know your story pretty well, but if you could start off just by kind of laying out there for us. I know you began your high school career here at McGill-Tulane and then went on to play college ball at Ole Miss while Eli Manning was there, but if you could just shortly kind of tell us about your journey and how you got from McGill-Tulane and Ole Miss to where you stand with quarterback country today.
Yeah, so it's always fun to think back. You know, so I was kind of an under-recruited guy. Had a kind of successful high school career and didn't get very highly recruited. Back then, a six-foot quarterback was not thought of the same way they are now, which mm-hmm. is a great thing. I'm glad that the dialogue has changed there. Anyway, walked on at Ole Miss, and you know, kind of the story there, the football story there is I was a career second stringer and earned a scholarship after 1 year and lettered every year, but never really fulfilled my dream of being a solidified SEC starter, and that stung a little bit. So when I got out, I got into real estate, and then but always just, you know, football is my first love, and I guess first loves usually break your heart, right? So So that all happened, and got out and was kind of training guys here and there. Then further got away from football, the more I missed it, and the more I realized that, you know, this is kind of my definition of a good life is to be able to have an impact through the game that kind of impacted me so much. And so kind of went down the road of trying to build something. And anyway, and then, you know, just worked real hard and still am, and trying to, you know, help kids in this little niche and kind of do our part along with parents and teachers and coaches all over the place to try to, you know, build better young men and create some good quarterbacks along the way. So that's kind of the nutshell.
Well, I know I love seeing the updates online on social media of all the local high schoolers and some of the local college guys that you're working with, just getting better, getting in the weight room, and getting out there on your practice fields and getting better every day. But certainly in this year's NFL draft, you had quite a few guys that worked with you at Quarterback Country or some of the different locations from around the states. And Daniel Jones has to be the first name that pops up that we talk about here from this year's draft, because it's kind of funny how things work out with Daniel Jones working with you guys at Quarterback Country and then going up to the New York Giants, being drafted sixth overall and now expected to back up Eli Manning. Tell us, what was your feeling going into the draft? Did you kind of have a good feel that maybe the Giants would take Jones there at number six?
You know, we knew that it was a possibility. We knew they liked him, and we kind of thought that they may take a quarterback. I've been around and in the business long enough to know you never know, and until the trigger's pulled, especially come draft day. And so I think that was our, for me, the reason I wanted something like that to happen is because I know how lucky Daniel is to be in a situation to learn from a guy like Eli, who's a pro and has done it for a long time, going on year 15, and just what an amazing asset to be able to learn behind a guy who still can play, and a guy who's done it the right way all along, and kind of learn the ropes. So, I mean, for me, it was one of those things I was hoping, because, I mean, odds are wherever he was going to go, you know, either you got to play right away or you get the luxury of learning behind someone. And, you know, nobody better to learn behind than Eli. And so it was somewhat of a one of those things where I was in a way hoping that it would happen, and then when the name was called, it was special. It really was. You know, for me to be able to see a kid that I've been working with since 10th grade, you know, get drafted number six, that was kind of, you know, our best case scenario throughout the whole process. And, you know, odds are that, you know, if he doesn't get drafted there, you know, you just don't know. I mean, is he going to go at 10? Is he going to 12? At 15, 17, you know, 26, 32, 42, you can never know. And so I think for all of us there, it was kind of like, whoa, you know, happened, and it was really cool. And I know how hard Daniel's worked, and I know how, you know, good he is and how good he can be, and I also know how lucky he is to be in a room with a guy that is going to, you know, teach him a little bit more about how to do this thing the right way. Because the goal is to, you know, have a long career and play football for a long time. So.
Some of the college athletes that you're currently training, you look at Jake Bentley and Jake Fromm at Georgia. Talk about their development and success that they're going to continue to have at those programs and what they meant to you. You having an opportunity to mentor them while they were in younger stages of their careers.
Yeah, just fun. You know, again, Jake Fromm, I think, came over here right after his freshman year in high school and kind of been coming back every off season, you know, four or five times an off season, and built just a strong relationship and with him and his whole family. And Jake Bentley came down for the first time a couple of years ago, and just got so much respect for him and his dad and his brothers and just a football family. But yeah, I mean, the ability to first of all, you know, it means a lot when a guy travels to come to see you. It means, you know, it to me, you know, there's other places they can be. And so I take a lot of pride and understanding just, you know, how much, how special that is for a kid to kind of drive down and see you and spend a lot of time doing that. And And so that's fun. But then the ability to watch them and help them through the good times and bad times, and challenge them and tell them the truth, and then just kind of sit back and watch come fall and be a sounding board is really cool and really neat. And it's something that when I was hoping to build this quarterback business was something that, you know, I'd always kind of thought there's a chance to do something like that. And so it's fun to be kind of in the middle of it.
Bentley and from the Jakes, I guess we could call them, they're both eligible after this season. It seems like Bentley, I mean, I think he's played, what, 30, 35 games now. It seems like he's been starting since he was 17 there at South Carolina. Yeah. But they're both being mentioned there in the 2020 draft as certainly possible candidates to get drafted. But even from now, I'm seeing that he could maybe work his way up to that number one overall pick. How would you, and I know it's tough because you got so many guys that you personally work with, but how are you seeing the landscape of quarterbacks as we head into this next college season with some of the guys we might see enter the draft? I know a lot of people think Tua's a lock to go one overall, but I know Fromm and certainly the quarterback from Oregon, Herbert, they're also up there in that conversation.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's too far out to tell. I mean,
right.
The thing will change two or three times and potentially more than that. What you get in Jake Fromm is you get a special kid who's a special competitor who loves football, who plays the game very smart, plays the game in a way that puts his team in a position to win. So he is a thinker. He is a clutch kid. You know, big moments is when he shows up, and then in normal kind of simple situations, he's always good and steady, which is, you don't want to just play big and, you know, good in big games. You want to play good all the time, and he does. You know, I mean, last year I think he was 5-1 touchdown interception ratio. His true freshman year, I think he was 3-1. You know, he went from 63% to 67.5%. And so, you know, I mean, he's making strides and getting better and better. And you know, as far as the other two guys, they're super talented, and you know, I know they'll do their part to help their case, but Jake Fromm's special, man, and I think the thing that makes him a little different is I think he's one of those guys that when you say NFL ready, it means, you know, is he a guy that can grasp offense and, you know, grasp defense and then play in a manner confidently that, you know, put his team in a position to win. And so, I mean, he's one of those guys.
Without question, David. And just one last thing I want to talk to you about, something I know Dalton and I wish we had, because I can't throw a pass beyond 45 yards. So that definitely would scratch me from being a quarterback. But something Dalton and I do love is the media aspect of covering athletes. You have QB Country Media now. Talk to us a little bit about that and how young people who aspire to be journalists or involved in the media field can get into that.
Yeah, really, really cool. I appreciate you bringing that up, Corey. So a guy who does my branding and kind of communication stuff is a guy from Philadelphia. His name is Doug Young, and kind of got lucky to get connected with him a little over maybe 2 years ago. And he was bringing down a kid actually from a school, Lower Merion, where Kobe Bryant played, right? And so happens that Doug was teammates with Kobe and kind of does some branding and stuff, communications work with Kobe now. And he was bringing on this quarterback who he felt like had a chance, and but just didn't have, you know, he felt like, you know, it's kind of a basketball school, and so he just wanted to get him a little extra help. Well, Doug ends up being just an amazing writer and an amazing guy, tied into videographers all over the world, and also photographers and you know, broadcast people. And so it was kind of his idea, and it was something that when he said, I'm like, God, you're brilliant. Like, this is really good, you know. And so our hope for it is really for young high school and college students that want to get into media, sports media, to some degree or some form or fashion, they can have a chance to do this with us. And so and learn from Doug, who Doug is going to be the guy who monitors and give these kids assignments and also critiques them and helps them along the way. So yeah, you can find out more information on that at qbcountry.com as well. But yeah, it's going to be a neat first go at it, but if anybody can pull it off, it's Doug Young. I mean, he's just an amazing guy that I've been really fortunate to be around.
That's some awesome stuff. I know a young Dalton Orwig would be interested in that. Is there any? Is there a cap on that? Can I say a 28-year-old who works at FM Talk 106.5?
I mean, you know, I don't think there is necessarily a cap. I think that what he really wants is, this is his passion, kind of like my passion is being on the field and you guys' passion is a form of sports media as well. He just wants people that don't feel like, well, that love it, but don't feel like they know exactly where to start or where mm-hmm. to go, and then how to get there. And I think that, you know, Doug's the type of guy that is that's what he does. So anyway, it's going to be fun. The first time's always interesting. We'll learn a lot, but it's going to be neat.
That's some awesome stuff. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, David. And if you'd come on, we'd love to have you on again to talk football, and especially with the season drawing even nearer, preview some of these games that are coming up. Thanks for joining us
Absolutely.
Tonight.
Hey, thanks, guys. It means a lot. Y'all,
thanks,
good
David.
Night. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right, that's David Morris, QB Country. He's the founder, and lots of athletes, lots of quarterbacks moving through the ranks at QB Country, one of the 10 locations, of course, started right here in Mobile. So lots of guys to keep an eye on. I mean, I was, Corey, earlier, I was writing down the names of the guys that have moved through QB Country. It would have taken at least an hour to ask him about. I mean, you got Cephas Johnson, who we didn't even get to ask about, South Alabama's starting quarterback. Gardner Minshew, who went in the draft. He's went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So lots of guys moving through QB Country, and David knows more about quarterbacking than just about anybody.
I can't argue with you at all. I mean, you look at A.J. McCarron and Joe Coker, mm-hmm. Just former examples. Jake Coker from Alabama, just prime examples of people he's helped tutelage along the way and just helped them throughout their career. And not only now that some of their football playing days are over, again, with the broadcasting side of it, I love that. You can follow him at QB Country. For more information, go to QBCountry.com if you would like to find out about this program and about how to get your student athlete involved in his program as well.
And coming up later in the show, we will shift gears in a little bit. Coming back this next segment, I want to talk a little bit about the NBA Finals and also the alcohol now allowed in SEC games, although it's not looking like any of the SEC teams are ready to sign up for that kind of drama outside of the suites and club area. But SEC technically would be allowed if the teams allowed it to be sold in their games. But coming up later in the show, we're going to talk with a professional softball player, Savannah Horvath. She played her college ball at Cal State Northridge, but last year made her way down to Mobile, Alabama to play for Team Mobile USA in the ASBA. And we're going to talk with her later in the show as she comes down for year two. But right now, if you call our number, 251-343-0106, we'll go ahead and give away a pair of season passes to this year's ASBA softball season, every single game that's on the calendar, and you can get in for free with this pair of season passes. We'll take caller number 4 here at the station during the break, and the tickets are all yours. All you got to be is caller number 4, and we're coming back Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5 with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
Congratulations, Keith, for Mobile, winning that pair of tickets to the ASBA season passes. Every single game, 6 weeks long season, starts June 14th. They got the draft coming up this Wednesday in downtown Mobile at Moe's Barbecue, the one on Spring Hill Avenue. Hopefully you'll be there on Wednesday night to check that out. And coming up later in the show, we're talking with one of the top players in the ASBA. Talking with Savannah Horvath, played at Cal State Northridge and left from there, started playing in the ASBA last year, and then was only one of the best hitters in the entire league. We're going to talk with her in about 10 minutes. But first, Corey, before we get to the first Corey, thank you for voting for us in the Nappies. I know voting wrapped up yesterday at 11:59 p.m. sharp. That was the last chance you had to get your votes in. And we'll find out who won all the Nappy Awards, I guess, in 3 or 4 weeks. We'll find out who won those. But regardless of what happens, we here at Sports Night want to thank you for voting for us for Best Sports Show and also all of the shows here at FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you.
We were up for 5 separate categories in this year's Nappies. So it'll be interesting to see how those turn out. But thank you so much for voting for us. Now we can get to the first, Corey. We got to talk about the NBA Finals. Because we haven't gotten to talk about those as much as I would like. And especially now that we officially have a series, because they say a playoff series doesn't truly become a series until one of the teams loses on the road, and that's exactly what we got last night in Game 2 of the Finals. Golden State coming back 109-104, beating the Raptors in Toronto. And it was quite a comeback. I know when I got in the bedroom, I started watching the game out in the living room, moved into the bedroom, and by that time I was like, oh, Toronto, they might have this in the bag. We're heading into halftime. They were up 47-35 in the second quarter, and with a minute left in the second quarter, 58-48, and then the wheels just completely fell off of the Raptors for a good 7 or 8 minutes of game time, and basically Golden State goes on a 24-1 run and leads 72-59 midway through the third quarter, and it was about all she wrote from there. Toronto did make it a game there towards the very end, but then you had Andre Iguodala just hitting a dagger of a three-pointer. I don't know why they left him as open as they did. They doubled up on Steph, which is understandable, but he had no one close, and Iguodala hits that three-pointer. They go up 109-104, even the series. Now we're heading to Oakland for games 3 and 4. And our guy, DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie, became a starter again, his second game back from that quad tear, and just tore it up last night. Had a double-double, 11 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists, but the stats don't show how well he was playing for Golden State last night. What did you think about Boogie's game?
First of all, I want to say that Steve Kerr is a million-dollar coach for a reason. He decided to insert Boogie Cousins into the starting lineup. So you go from 8 minutes in game number one to 28 minutes Ooh. In game number two. First of all, Boogie has to work real hard with his conditioning to mm-hmm. get back into the shape after missing as many games as he missed throughout the regular season and then coming back from the injury. But Boogie Cousins was the difference maker last night, Dalton, without question. And I've been waiting to see this. I've been waiting for him to not only become a world champion, because he's already become an Olympic champion. We weren't able to win that high school state championship with him at LaFleur the 2 years that he was with us as the LaFleur Rattlers. But you just want to see him become an NBA champion. And the way he played last night, unselfish, kept his cool about him. He was being a leader on the floor. That's the DeMarcus Cousins that makes him the best big man in the league by far. And with him trying to get back into shape, he just shot the free throws very well, stepped mm-hmm. out. You saw him in warm-ups when I was watching him on NBA TV. You could see him shooting the three ball extremely well, even in warm-ups. Well, that kind of took over in the game also. And he just was a difference maker defensively and offensively. The Golden State Warriors without KD, Klay Thompson goes down, Iguodala's not 100% healthy. They still found a way to get it done. And anytime you can have Klay Thompson scoring 25, Curry with 23, and then the big man DeMarcus Cousins chips in as well, the Golden State Warriors are going to be hard to beat in this series.
You know, DeMarcus, he showed a lot of character last night, because you mentioned that first game he comes back, doesn't start for the team. He only put up 3 points in those 8 minutes and truthfully did not look very good in game one. A lot of the Warriors didn't look good in game one. But to come out, and I think you're right, put that on Steve Kerr for having the confidence in DeMarcus to put him on that starting lineup. And I don't think Kerr wanted to play him the full 28 minutes that he ended up playing. But when you have the injuries like they did, which are really, really mounting up for Golden State, and if you think this series is over now because Golden State 1-1 in Toronto, it's closer to being over than if Toronto had won two. I still think we might get a 7-game series out of that, but I don't think this series is over, and that's mainly because of the injuries that are mounting up. And with Klay Thompson, I never saw a final result from his MRI today, but the tight hamstring that slowed him down and pulled him out of the game in the fourth quarter. And I think Tooney also went out last night.
He did. Looney did go out because he came down awkwardly. And like you said, the injuries are starting to mount up. But again, you look at that core group, Livingston comes in, and he has an opportunity to win his third or fourth NBA World Championship with the Golden State Warriors also. Just a lot of depth. Siakam did not have a great game, wound up with 12 points, whereas in the first game he had over 30. So that's the difference there. Kawhi Leonard is a difference maker, folks. Right now he is playing the best basketball of any person on the planet, having 34 points last night, continuing to get his. But it was a huge win. Anytime you come out in the third quarter, basketball is a game of runs. The Warriors start the third quarter on an 18-0 run to start that third quarter, and that was the difference. The Raptors got some good looks, weren't able to knock him down. But I tell you what, Dalton, what's funny to me is DeMarcus Cousins and Drake have a great relationship.
I was about to say, because Drake has, he wore the LaFleur jersey.
He did, in his video.
In a music video.
That's right. And that's why you know they have a great relationship. But for DeMarcus to show up and show out last night was just tremendous. I couldn't be happier for him and just want to see him win that world championship.
Let's talk about Drake a little bit, because he is the Spike Lee of the Toronto Raptors.
Without
Except
question.
It's a little different. Spike Lee, I guess, was the voice of the New York Knicks
right.
during, well, he still is if you ask him, but especially during the 90s when they were making that run against Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all seen the 30 for 30, and I remember watching those games a little bit with my grandpa, who's a huge Indiana Pacers fan. So you had Spike Lee back then. You had Nicholson with the LA Lakers and a host of other people that have been the face of the LA Lakers, but I think most people would say Nicholson's that guy for LA. Drake is basically that guy for a country's team. For he says that he is the face of Toronto, and they accept that. I think their training complex is named after his company, OVO. They accept him as the face of the Toronto Raptors. But there's been a lot of talk about him being on the court, rubbing the shoulders of the Toronto head coach, yelling at the Golden State players. I know he and Draymond Green got into it after game one when the Raptors won. And then last night, as Drake was leaving the arena, you had KD, who I didn't even know made the trip to Toronto. I thought he stayed back in Oakland, but I guess he was there in Toronto.
He was there, yeah.
And Klay Thompson came out of the locker room, and they were both giving Drake the business as he left the arena last night. So I know what my answer is, and I'll give it to you, but do you think this is good or bad for the sport, having Drake out there?
I think it's great.
Okay.
I mean, he's not on the court. He's on the sidelines. He's an ambassador for the Toronto Raptors organization. I love the fact that Drake gets engaged. Now, I don't think they have to go to him as many times as they do with the camera shot, which they stayed away from as a whole last night, as much as they have in the past. But I love Drake and his passion and excitement for Toronto.
Well, you have you had a former president in the house last night, too. I know Obama was there, and they showed the camera on him for a little bit. One person was asking, what if Drake goes and rubs Obama's shoulders? What will Secret Service do if he does that? But Drake has been somehow made himself the storyline of these NBA finals, when the real two storylines, I think, are, is Kevin Durant coming back, and what does it mean for his legacy if Golden State wins without him? And then the second storyline, does Kawhi leave? Does he leave Toronto after this year, and does it make a difference whether they win or lose these finals? What do you think? Do you think Kawhi Leonard, if the Toronto Raptors lose, and let's say any amount of games in this series, 5, 6, or 7 games, you think Kawhi is gone after this if they lose?
I don't think Kawhi likes the cold weather that's in Toronto, but he's going to like that paycheck that the Raptors are yeah. going to be able to offer him. So I think he'll be able to put on his winter best and in order to, you know, stay away from that. And in the offseason, the 3 months that he's off, he can go find a warmer climate. But I think Kawhi stays in Toronto. I think he should stay in Toronto, because you look at that Raptor Nation and the way that they're behind him. I mean, there's people that are offering him free meals for life, not that he needs it,
yeah.
across Toronto, across the entire Canada. Anywhere he goes, he can have what he chooses if he decides to stay. So I hope he does.
See, I'm on the other side of that from you. I think Kawhi, from everything I've seen, his press conferences, when he's talking to media, anytime you see Kawhi, he really, and I've seen a lot of players who seem like they don't care, Kawhi really does not care what you think. And I've never heard him say he wants to stay in Toronto. We heard him when he left San Antonio last year. We heard him say, I don't want to go to Toronto, in fewer words, basically. He said, I don't want to be in Toronto. I want to be in a big city. I haven't really heard him turn that around. I'm thinking, and my prediction is, even if Toronto wins this series, I think Kawhi's out. And I think he's going to make a lot of people north of the American border very angry with his decision.
If they win the world championship, it won't matter to them whether he leaves or stays, because they will have won that world championship and taken it north of the border. But at the same time, I hope he does stay. I like to see the small market guys rack up. And you want that marquee name in that franchise, like Chris Bosh was to that organization. That's what you want to see, Dalton.
All right, coming back, we'll wrap up this Monday night's sports night. We're going to talk with Savannah Horvath. She plays in the ASBA Softball League for Team Mobile USA, played at Cal State Northridge, a four-time all-conference player while she was at Cal State. We're going to talk with her when we get back on the other side. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. I'm Dalton Orwig, sitting across from Corey LeBounty. And on the phone right now, we got a big softball star about to make her way back down here to Mobile as ASBA, American Softball Association League Year 2 is getting ready to begin. I know games starting back up on June the 14th, but before that, they got to fill out the teams, and that's why they have the ASBA draft coming up this Wednesday at Moe's Barbecue in downtown Mobile. Savannah, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, doing a little research before the show, and Auburn Donaldson, of course, co-founder of ASBA, put you in contact with us, but four-time All-Conference. You were at Cal State Northridge with the Matadors, and last year you just kept rolling that good play over into your professional career, named to first-team All-ASBA and the 2018 All-Defensive Team. Now you're back to destroy the league again in year two. You're looking forward to this season. Tell us a little bit about your first year on Team Mobile USA.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, last year was a lot of fun. I met a lot of great people, and, you know, I credit majority of my fun times out there to my coaching staff and everybody that I've met, my host family. I have to give credit to Auburn and to Michael for putting this league together, because it also gives us a lot of added hope for the girls, you know, that are still looking to continue their career post-college. And I'm excited to see what this year brings and how much the league grows and how much more talent we gain, and it should be very exciting to see all the new faces.
I know last year in the inaugural draft you ended up at a pretty good spot, Mobile USA, where you guys ended up leading the league, the best record, 17 wins and 10 losses, and then just came two runs shy of winning the championship. But this year in the draft, teams are actually able to protect players. A total of 7 softball players protected, and your team, Mobile USA, protected 4, including you. Tell us what it is about your team you played for last year and you're going to play for again this year. What makes your teammates Kaylee Todd, Stephanie Texera, and Maddie Grimm so special, and how are you guys able to form such a good bond in such a short time last year?
Again, I credit all of my teammates being picked handpicked by Bobby. You know, I think he did a lot of his research, and he recruited and drafted players who not only are good athletes but are good people. And as far as all of us coming back together, we all mesh so well, and we all help each other so perfectly on the field. We balance each other out. You know, if one of us didn't have our 100%, then the other one could pick us up. And I think that that's a good balance for us to have with Todd coming back, and she's holding down the second base position for us. And then if I'm coming back, well, not if, but when I come back, I could either be at third or short, you know, and then we just got to fill in one of those holes. And then Tex pitching or at first, and then Maddie, you know, Maddie's also a great athlete in general, and just having her on the field and her presence, and, you know, just having everybody's different personalities, we all mesh so well together. And, you know, it's nice to have a little bit of an up having 4 returning players.
Yeah.
And so it'll be nice to see.
Well, I know you shine when you get up to the plate. Last year led the team in home runs, finished 2nd in RBIs, and I think you led the entire league in slugging percentage. What's your goal when you get up there to bat? Are you trying to tear the cover off the ball every time and put it over the fence, or you looking for open spaces in the field to kind of aim the ball and get on base? What's your thought process once you get up to the plate?
You know, it kind of varies from situation to situation. There's times where, you know, maybe we do need a little bit of a bigger clutch at bat moment, or sometimes I just need to pepper the ball and get it and put in play and, you know, let the person behind me bring in a runner, or sometimes I'm just trying to find a hole. But it really just depends, and I think that this season I'm going in with more of a clear mind, not trying to do too much at the plate, just, you know, enjoy the game for what it is, have fun, and, you know, my job is to see the ball well and hit it hard.
Quick question for you. UCLA or Oklahoma? Who's going to take it all?
I'm rooting for UCLA. You know, I would have liked to see maybe a little bit more of a different matchup, but out of these two, I'm going for UCLA, and I'm glad that they're up right now 4-1, and I'm going to root for them in this series.
As you were speaking, you must have worked some magic because they're up 5-1 now, so they put another one on the board. I hope I didn't ruin that for you. You probably got the game paused while you talk to us right now. But UCLA scored
right
again.
Now. I just saw.
And so we'll leave you on this question. With the next season coming up, ASBA getting started, I think your game start June the 14th, got a doubleheader. What's your team goal, you think? I know you guys came two runs within winning the championship last year, and that's after having the best record in the regular season. Is it championship or bust for you guys this year?
I think the championship's open for anybody, and mm-hmm. I think that with all the talent that the draft has and the potential that this league has right now, it's open for anybody, but I don't see why a championship challenge isn't in our eyesight for us. I think that's a good goal to set for us, and I don't think that we're going to stop at anything less.
Well, you open the season June 14th at 7 o'clock against Team ASBA, and we'll be out there checking out all of the games. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Savannah.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
All right, you too. That's Savannah Horvath. Played at Cal State Northridge, just an incredible college career, and then, like so many other great college players, made her way down here to Mobile, Alabama to participate in the Top Women's Professional Softball League, and they're getting ready for year two, getting started here with the draft on Wednesday at Moe's, and you can find out more about that at asbasoftball.com, and also the season starting in 2 weeks. Well, that does it for another sports night here on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up, the car show with Kevin Ray Winkle. Get those phones ready and call in with your questions. And Corey, I guess we'll have to do this again next week.
Looking forward to it.
Talk some NBA finals. I know Stanley Cup final might be over by the time we get back on the air, but we'll talk about everything that's going on in sports. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty with another night of Sports Night. Have a good one.